Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. If you are new to our church, we are one church meeting in 14 locations. And this Christmas Eve, we have 101 services over our 14 campuses, which when I heard that this week, it just blew me away. So if you are at one of our campuses right now, Merry Christmas to you. Maybe you're watching this message online. Merry Christmas to you as well. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't even know how I got here. My family like dragged me here and told me if I want to eat food, I got to come. Or you were trying to watch the football game and all of a sudden they switch it over to me and here I am. And you're going, what's going on right now? And look, I get it. I was 19 years old when I went to church for the first time. Honestly, I thought it was a little bit weird the first time I went. But my hope today is that you would be open to what God might want to do in your life, because I don't believe it's an accident that you're here. In fact, today I want to start with a question. And it's this: how does Jesus feel about you? Notice how I asked the question. I didn't say, how does Jesus feel about the person sitting next to you? I didn't say, how does Jesus feel about humanity in general? But how does Jesus feel about you? Years ago, when I was a teaching pastor at this church, our senior pastor at the time, Bob Merritt, he told a story in a message about riding in my car over to a staff meeting. I was having a bad car day. You know how you have bad hair days? You can have bad car days. My kids left a bowl of oatmeal in the back seat. They had smeared some chocolate underneath the window. I had just spilled a protein shake on the center console that morning. I was having a bad car day. My plan was not to let anybody else into my car until I had cleaned it up. But Bob and I were headed to the same staff meeting, and so I said, hey, Bob, how about I just give you a ride? What did my kind gesture get me? Public shame and humiliation. Let me read to you what he said in a message in front of thousands of people, and I quote, I sat down in the front seat of his car and it was unlike anything I've ever seen. There was chocolate sauce smeared all over the doors, ketchup and mustard stains all over the seats, layers of crud was built up everywhere. A peach pit and French fries that had been there for 5 years, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but something smelled. For months after he told this story, I would see people out in public and they'd go, can I see your car? Because they wanted to know, is it really that bad? We carpooled with another family at the time, and this sixth grade boy, he would get into the car, wouldn't say a word, would just wipe off the seat every time. Wipe off his seat, and then he would finally sit down. We drove a four-year-old home from preschool, and he had no filter. I mean, he just came right out and said it. He goes, you need to clean your car. So finally, Sarah, my wife and I, we bit the bullet. We took it over to a car detailing place. This place opened at 10 o'clock in the morning. They closed at 6 o'clock at night. At 6:30, they were still working on our car. Sarah was embarrassed about this. And so when she picked it up, she was kind of sheepishly said, like, hey, this might be one of the worst cars you've ever had, huh? Guy looked at her, he goes, top three. I thought he was going to be like, I see cars like this all the time. Don't worry about it. No, no big deal. No, he looked at it. He goes, top three. Then he charged me a $20 extra dirty fee. But let me tell you, when that car came back home, it was as clean. It looked like a new car. Wouldn't it be something if our lives could be like that car? If all the shame and the guilt that we've kind of stuffed underneath the seats because we don't really want to deal with it. What if all of it could be washed clean? The regret from our past that we carry with us, that we've hidden under the floor mats, we don't want anybody else to see it. What if that could be washed clean? The stain of our sin, all of it washed clean. See, I wonder if there's some of us here today who think, yeah, I believe that Jesus loves humanity. I'm pretty sure he loves the person next to me. I'm pretty sure he loves my grandma. She's really religious. But when it comes to me, I don't think so. My life is a mess. And if my life wasn't so messy, well, then maybe Jesus would love me more. But today, I want you to see the heart of God. I want you to see the heart that God has for you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus tells us what his heart is like. And this is actually the only place in the New Testament where Jesus directly says, this is what my heart is like. I mean, there's other times we see him healing people or interacting or teaching, and we get a glimpse of his heart. But this is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus says, this is my heart. And in the New Testament, your heart was the center of who you were. So when Jesus says this, it's kind of a big deal. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Notice who Jesus is speaking to here. He's speaking to those of us who are weary and tired. And maybe that's you here today. Maybe you say, you know, I know it's Christmas, but I am so tired and I am so worn down by life. And Jesus says, come to me. It's actually surprising that Jesus would say that. You would think he might say, go. I mean, go clean up your life, get your act together, clean up the mess, and then come talk to me and maybe we can, you know, have a relationship. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you are weary, if you are burdened, if you are tired, he says, come to me. And what does Jesus promise to do? He promises to give us rest for our souls. This is the kind of rest you don't get from a nap. This is the kind of rest you don't get from a vacation. This is the kind of rest you don't get when something really good happens in your life. See, I think this is where some of us have gone off just a little bit because we're looking to this world. We're looking to something in this world to give us rest for our souls. And Jesus says it's not there. Jesus says, if you want rest for your souls, come to me. And then Jesus says, here's my heart. Here's my heart towards you. I am gentle and I am humble. We should have known. When the Son of God, the Son of Man, came to this earth, he did not come as a king. He didn't come as a president. He came as a baby, born in a manger. And who was this child? Isaiah, writing 700 years before Jesus came to this earth, he said this, for a child, not a president, not a king, a child, the most gentle and humble. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. See, I think most of us, we know the what of Christmas. I mean, even if you're a person who says, you know, I haven't been to church much, or, you know, I haven't really read too much of the Bible, I'm guessing you know the what of Christmas. If you've listened to some Christmas songs and you've been around culture enough, you've heard that Jesus was born in a little town called Bethlehem. And he was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And you've heard that there were shepherds tending their flocks by night. And that there were three wise men who brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know the what of Christmas. But do you know the who? Who is this child? Who is this Son of God, Son of Man? Isaiah the prophet, writing 700 years before Jesus was even born, he says, here's who he is. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful counselor. If you need guidance right now, if you have a decision in your life, you can come and talk to him. And he will direct you. He's mighty God. He wasn't just a baby being born in that manger. He was God in human flesh. He's an eternal father. No matter what your earthly father has been like, you have a loving father in heaven. And then he says, I am the Prince of Peace. See, unfortunately for most of us, it's more normal to feel anxiety than it is to feel peace. But Jesus says, I'm not just offering you peace, I am peace. I am the Prince of Peace. And why did Jesus come? Why did he come to our earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There's one word in this verse that has just been hitting me this week, and the word is this one: so. It's just two letters, and if you look at the verse again, you don't even need that word. He could have very easily said, for God loved the world and he gave his only Son. He could have said that. But there was a depth to God's love. And so he adds this two-letter word, so. God doesn't just love you. God so loves you. So the question I want to ask today is this: how does Jesus love us? First, Jesus' love washes us clean. I want you to look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 1. He says this: come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet. Some of you know what that feels like. They shall be as white as snow, though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I heard an analogy recently about a sheep. And this sheep was in a green pasture, and this kid walks out and he sees this sheep and he turns to his mom. He goes, Mom, look at how pure and how white that sheep looks. But then the next day it snowed. And the kid walked outside and he saw the same sheep against the backdrop of the snow. And he looked at his mom and he goes, Mom, look at how dirty that sheep looks. It's the same sheep, but it's a different backdrop. When I was younger, I thought I was a good person, which would really confuse me then when people would say to me that I need a savior. Because I would think, like, well, what do I need to be saved from? Like, why do I need Jesus to save me from my sins? I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. But at that time, I was comparing myself to other people. That was the backdrop that I was comparing myself to. And compared to other people, yeah, I was a good person. I mean, I was better than that guy, and I'm pretty sure I was better than her. And then someone told me about God and who he is, his holiness and his purity and his perfection. And I realized that against that backdrop, I was not good. That's why the Bible says that no one is good, not even one. But here's the good news. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. My wife was mentoring a young woman who had some sexual sin in her past. And maybe you do as well. And she carried that shame and that guilt with her every day. And so my wife sent her this verse to show her that Jesus can wash her clean, can take her guilt and shame and completely wash it away. And she texted back, she said, I think I get it now. She said, I've always believed that there was a God who exists, but now I understand why I need a savior. She reads that verse every day to remind herself of the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that she has in Christ. Here's the second difference Jesus' love never gives up. On September 21st, 1997, in China, there was a two-year-old boy named Gao Xinshen who was abducted from his front porch. You can imagine this. His mom was inside cooking. He was out on the front porch, and someone abducted him. This is at a time in China where they had a law, you could only have one child, and so abductions became quite common for people who wanted a certain gender of child. And so authorities searched for this little boy, Gao, for months. They couldn't find him, and so finally they gave up their search. But his father never gave up. Gao's father put pictures of him on his motorcycle. He had a banner made that said, "My son, where are you? Your dad is looking for you to come home." And he attached that banner to his motorcycle and he would drive from village to village all over China asking people, "Have you seen my son?" Gao's father didn't do this for a month. He didn't even do this for a year. He didn't even do it for 2 years. Gao's father searched for him for 24 years. 24 years of almost every single day getting on his motorcycle, driving to another town and going, "Have you seen my son? His dad is looking for him to come home." In 2015, a movie was made of Gao's father and about his search. It was starring Andy Lau. It was a well-received movie, but there was no happy ending. In 2021, just 3 years ago, authorities received a tip about a child who may have been abducted years before, and using DNA testing, they found Gao Zhenxian. He was now 26 years old, living with another family. Here's a video of the moment that Gao was reunited with his father. Years of searching for his son. Jesus told a story one time about a son who was not abducted, but who ran away. And he ran away from his father, and he spent all of the money that he had inherited from his father. And when he was finally broke and eating food that had been discarded by the pigs, he thought, "I'm just going to go home to my dad." And he thought for sure his father was going to be angry with him. He thought his father was going to say, "Just go, clean up the mess of your life, and then you can come home." But instead, his father ran to him. And he embraced his son. And he said these words, "My son was lost, but now he has been found." There are some of us here today. You are that lost son. You are that lost daughter. You have been running from God. You have been ignoring God. You've been filling your life up with all these other things to distract you away from the love that God has for you. And Jesus is searching for you. He's pursuing you. And he didn't just travel thousands of miles on a motorcycle. He left heaven and he came to earth in pursuit of you. That's how much he loves you. And he didn't search for you for 1 year or 2 years or even 24 years. He will search for you and pursue you until the day that you die, because Jesus' love never gives up. Third, Jesus' love is for you. It's not just for the person next to you. It's not for that person you know who's really... Jesus' love is for you. Author Marvin Orlovsky has written a book called Lament for a Father. And in it, he tells the story of his own dad. And when Marvin was growing up, he loved to play baseball. Just loved to play baseball. But he could never get his dad to play catch with him. Finally, one day, he got his dad to come outside and play catch. And on the first throw, the ball ricocheted off of Marvin's glove and went behind him. And he was kind of embarrassed, and so he said something to his dad, like, "Oh, Dad, you know, you threw that one a little high," and he turned around to go get the ball, and when he turned around, he was looking at his dad's back. His dad walked inside, and he never played catch with him again. Now in his 70s, Marvin Orlovsky writing a book called Lament for a Father to try to heal from the pain that he experienced growing up. Some of us know what that pain is like. You know what it's like to feel rejected. You know what it's like to feel unloved. You see, many of us tend to see God's love through the lens of how other people have loved us. So if you had parents who loved you really well, it may be easier for you to accept the fact that God might love you. But if you had parents who didn't love you well, or you experienced rejection and feelings of unlovedness growing up, Often we tend to look at God's love and go, no, I don't think he probably really loves me. My life is kind of a mess. The Hebrew word for God's love in the Old Testament is hesed. And there's no perfect English translation to it. It kind of means covenant love or faithful love. In other words, even when we're not faithful to God, he is faithful to us. Even when other people fail us, God says, I will never fail you. A couple months ago, my wife Sarah and I were in Florida, and we happened to be there 2 days before Hurricane Helene hit. The storm was supposed to come Wednesday night. Our flight was leaving on Thursday afternoon, and I knew there's no way that this flight was going to happen. And so on Tuesday, I started searching for an earlier flight to get back to Minneapolis. And I could not find a single flight that had a seat. I went to bed that night. I woke up at 3:00 in the morning, which is not necessarily normal for me. And it's not like I heard a voice from God, but I just had this thought, you got to get out of here. And so I went back online and I started searching flights that had been full just earlier that day. And I found a Delta flight where 2 seats had opened up. 2 people must have canceled. And I bought those 2 tickets at 3:00 in the morning. The next day, my wife and I went to the airport. We were sitting at the gate waiting to get on our plane. Our plane came in from Minneapolis. And so people were boarding off of that plane as we were waiting to get on. And this woman walked past me and she kind of came over and she stopped and she said, do you remember me? I'm the woman who body slammed you. I have never had someone say that to me before. And I don't think I ever will. Now, before you kind of go, whoa, I had done an interview here at church years ago with a former professional wrestler. And as a part of that interview, she did body slam me. Would you like to see? Yeah. Take a look.
Okay. So a suplex, okay. It's gonna be another forward roll maneuver.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab you, hook you, and throw you. 1, 2, 3. Yes. 1, 2, 3.
Oh. Please, that was a good one, wasn't it? Did that look cool?
I would be dead if that happened today. You can see I was a lot younger back then. I got my neck hurts today. I just like stepped on it wrong. Like, so this woman, she walks up to me and she says, I remember me, I'm the one who body slammed you. And when she left, there was this woman sitting next to me. And we've been sitting next to each other for about a half hour, hadn't really talked, hadn't said a word. She leaned over and she said, excuse me, I don't mean to intrude, but are you a pastor? And I said, yeah. Despite what you just heard, I actually am a pastor who got body slammed. And she said to me, I'm on my way to a funeral. And it's of a 20-year-old girl who was one of our closest family friends. And she said, I'm having a real hard time right now believing that God loves me. And so I said, can I pray for you? And right there in the airport, I reached over, I put my hand on her shoulder. And I just prayed that she would experience God's comfort and God's peace, and that she would have an assurance of his love. And when I got done praying, I opened my eyes and I looked, and she had tears streaming down her face. And she said, I don't think it's a coincidence that I was sitting next to you today. I really feel and know now that God is with me. And I thought about all that had to happen to get me to that moment. I had to wake up at 3:00 in the morning, and 2 people had to cancel their flights, and I had to just get those last 2 tickets. And then the woman who had body slammed me as she was getting off the plane, she had to see me. And then she had to decide, I actually want to go talk to him, and she had to come over and say hi. All these things had to happen to bring us to that moment of praying for this woman and her knowing that she was so loved. I don't believe it is a coincidence that you are here today. I believe that there is a God who so loves you. He's a wonderful counselor. He can give you guidance and direction in life. He is mighty God. He wasn't just a baby. He was God in human flesh. He's an everlasting father. No matter what your earthly father was like and the love that you experience, you have a God who loves you, who will embrace you, who runs towards you. You have an everlasting father. And you have a Prince of Peace. And it's a peace that the world cannot give you, but once you have it, it's a peace that the world cannot take away. And I believe that today, for some of you, today is your day. Today is your day to say, Jesus, I believe. And I receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus, I want to come to you and find rest for my soul. The kind of rest that gets deep down into your life, the kind of peace that the world does not understand. Jesus, would you give me that? As you came in today at your campus, you received this program. Go ahead and grab that now, if you would, at your campus. If you're online, there's going to be a QR code that comes up. You can just grab that off with your phone. And there's a spot on there that says, save this card for later in the service. And you can go ahead and peel that off. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And for some of you, this prayer is going to be the moment for you to confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to receive the promise of eternal life. And to find rest for your souls. And if you pray that prayer with me, would you just take a moment to fill this card out? We want to know who you are. We want to pray for you. We want to send you some free resources that will help you grow in your faith. And then as you leave today, drop this card off on your way out. We're going to sing a song after I'm done praying that again just says, come and adore him. And if you're a follower of Christ, if you're someone who says, man, I've been following Jesus for years, my prayer is that this would be a moment for you to just adore him as a wonderful counselor, as mighty God, as an everlasting father, as your Prince of Peace. And then we're going to sing a closing song together. Let me pray for us. God, I don't believe it's a coincidence that some of us are here today. It's your love, God, that has been pursuing them from the day that they were born. And no matter what a mess that they've made in their life, no matter how much they've ignored you or run from you, God, you say, come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. God, right now in the quietness of their mind, they're just going to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I confess my sin to you. I'm not good, God. I'm not a good person. Compared to the backdrop of who you are, I fall short. But God, right now, I turn from my sin and I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross, a sacrificial death, to pay the penalty that I could not pay for myself. And so God, right now, as I believe, I pray that you would give me the gift of eternal life. That you would give me rest for my soul. And Jesus, there are others of us here today who have followed you and have walked with you maybe for years. Right now, God, we adore you. We behold you, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We adore you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
And oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Continue to sing.
Silence. Well, hey, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want you to know that we're proud of you, that we're praying for you. Be sure to scan the QR code on the screen. It helps us get you some resources as you get started in your faith. And would you join me as we close in prayer? Jesus, we thank you so much for the great love that you have for us, that you came to earth, not as a conquering king, but as a humble and gentle baby boy. That you entered into human history to do for us what we would have never been able to do ourselves. While we were still lost in darkness, lost in our sin, that you came as a gentle baby boy to save us all. And God, I pray for everyone who's watching online right now. I pray for whatever they're going through, that you would do the same thing that you did for us, that you would enter into their story, enter into their doubt, their insecurities, the struggles that they have, that you would let them know that you're here for them, that you love them so much. And so today, on Christmas, God, we thank you for your humility, for your compassion, and your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. We will see you back online on the 29th for Unplugged, and Merry Christmas, everybody.